Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. In the spotlight on Money FM 89.3.
So we're putting the spotlight today on these family offices. The super wealthy in Greater China are undeterred by higher tax rules here in Singapore. So they're pushing ahead with plans to get permanent residency in Singapore through its global investor program.
And based on Dentons Rodike's data and information from other family office advisors, 60 to 70% of new family offices here come from China, Hong Kong and Taiwan. Also, a recent survey by EY found that the majority of single family offices experienced some form of cybersecurity or data breach in recent years. And unfortunately, they didn't have a cyber incident plan or even processes to detect these breaches in the first place.
So let's find out exactly what's happening in this. We have in the SFO landscape here in Singapore is Desmond Teo, EY Asia Pacific Family Enterprise Leader, joining us on the phone lines this evening. Hello, Desmond.
Hello. Hi. Thanks for having me.
Desmond, one of the key findings in your study of the 250 family offices in 12 countries around the world, including 50 from across the Asia Pacific, is that 74% said that they have been hit by cyber breaches. 72% lack plan to manage this. What is happening there?
Sure. Well, I mean, if you look in terms of risk of cyber attacks, you know, this has been heightened not just for family offices, but also businesses and individuals alike. And this can be broadly attributed to maybe four factors. I mean, it all starts with, you know, more remote working arrangements, and some of which, you know, you have imagined has been hastily implemented due to unanticipated and rapid onset of COVID back in 2020. Then there's also rapid adoption of technology, and sometimes, you know, there may be less focus on the cybersecurity defense, policies, controls, procedures. And it is a fact that the attacks are becoming more sophisticated and socially engineered, which makes them harder to detect. And so, and lastly, I would say that, you know, the last couple of years has been challenging for many businesses and individuals. And so, you know, other demands, especially during COVID, takes priority. And so sometimes when resources are stretched, you know, some areas such as cybersecurity defense may have been placed at a lower priority.
How do you hope to encourage them to reprioritize, to in fact make this a priority over and above other things?
Well, I would say that the awareness of cybersecurity attacks, you know, that has occurred, you know, would be an important one, you know, to get a refocus in this area. And certainly, I think there are already focus by, for example, the family offices in this area in terms of investing, in terms of technology, and also in terms of the tools, you know, that would enable more secure communication and work collaboration. So that's really work in progress, because in the findings that we have, we are really finding also that 78% of Asian-based family offices are planning to make significant investments in three or more digital technologies or tools in the coming 2 years, for example, in the area of hardware and also family portal technology.
All right, Desmond, let's talk about another finding from your survey. 72% are worried about the tax consequences of remote working. How does that relate to single family offices here?
Okay, you know, so if we look back in terms of the last 2 years during the pandemic, you will find that there has been restrictions with regards to travel. And so you find family members or employees may find themselves displaced and in locations other than where they would normally have been. But in today's world, you know, life goes on and business and work needs to continue nevertheless. And so sometimes in such situations where these individuals find themselves, you know, working in other locations, they may actually be seen as an extension of the companies that employ them from a tax perspective. And this could sometimes create unintended presence in these locations that would then result in possible unforeseen tax circumstances, depending on the nature and extent of activities that's been carried on.
Mm. The thing is, I'm sure, Desmond, there are differences between single-family offices in Singapore and single-family offices elsewhere in China or in other parts of the Asia-Pacific region. So give us an idea of what the landscape is like for those that are based here in Singapore.
Well, I would say that in terms of the family offices here, we do have a good mix of families. It is not just Singapore families, but there could be overseas families, as you've mentioned, from the
China, Hong Kong, and Taiwan.
That's right. Yeah. So I think if you look at the family offices based in Singapore itself, I think suffice to say that, you know, a good number of them are actually, you know, quite sophisticated in terms of the setup. Not just in terms of the resourcing of employees, but also investing in technologies and also the areas in which they are focused in terms of investments, which could be beyond financial assets, but it would then also be in terms of supporting startups in Singapore, say in the areas of fintech, agritech, medtech, etc. And they are also very involved in philanthropy, and we continue to see growing interest and commitment by them in this area. Happy to share more if it's interesting to you.
Desmond, so now moving ahead, with today's high pressure and fast-changing environment, how is the strategic role of a single-family office evolving then?
Well, I would say that, you know, if we look at the family offices today, they are, you know, beyond focusing on cost and also growing the AUM. They are, you know, as we were mentioning earlier, actively involved in terms of supporting startups in Singapore. They are also very involved in terms of philanthropy, in terms of, and it's beyond making donations to, you know, making an impact in terms of environment, social, and the one advantage that we see for family offices is that they have patient capital. And what that means, therefore, is that it can take a longer, more holistic view beyond the shorter term economic returns. And as one of my clients shared with me, it is about beyond making a good investment, they want to make investments that make a better world.
What might help them do all of this better? Because I think a lot of companies are now grappling with that, with ESG issues, for instance, with CSR issues as well. So based on your observations of the single family offices that have done this well, what can others learn and emulate as well?
Yeah, I think among other things, number one, technology, I think, is important, is a great enabler. The second is that, and we see that in our survey findings as well, is that family offices are starting to realize that beyond building expertise and resources in-house, you could also and you should, you know, look at outsourcing and, you know, tapping on the expertise, you know, from external service providers. So those two areas where we find family offices doing well. And in terms of their investments, I would say that, you know, being able to take a broader, more holistic and a longer term view in terms of investments would be key attributes, you know, that probably other investors can emulate from the family offices.
All right, Desmond, thanks for sharing your insights with us from that survey as well as moving forward. Desmond Teo is EY Asia Pacific Family Enterprise Leader here on Primetime.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.